I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator. You're with me on The Caring Generation, the only program of its kind caring to make your life easier by tackling uncomfortable and intimidating discussions about aging, caregiving, and everything in between. Caregiving is a two-way street. We're here to help you begin the conversation. Today, we're talking with men who make a difference. Jake Norton is a professional photographer, a mountain climber, speaker, humanitarian, and a father of two. He's traveled the world from the jungles of Borneo to the summit of Mount Everest and to the Kalahari Desert. His focus is to create compelling images that convey the story of adventure, nature, and humanity. He recently became a supporter of Water for People, an international nonprofit humanitarian organization dedicated to helping people and partners in developing countries create reliable, safe drinking water resources, improve sanitation facilities, and hygiene education programs. Jake, good morning and welcome.
Yes. Hi, Pamela. I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
You are a photographer, a mountain climber of more than 25 expeditions, and now you're working on a project that we'll talk about in a moment. What influenced you to choose mountain climbing and photography as a career?
Yes, it's a little bit of a different, non-conventional career, to say the least. But, you know, I got into climbing, surprisingly, at a pretty young age, growing up in Massachusetts through my parents and a family friend, and made my first climb of Mount Rainier when I was 12 years old, and that really touched me deeply. It exposed both my abilities and my inabilities and really sparked a passion in me. And my parents always encouraged both my sister and I to follow our passions in life and believe that if we did that, doors would have surprising ways of opening up to allow us to pursue our passions and also put food on the table and pay the bills. For me, as I progressed in climbing, I really realized that it wasn't enough for me to just be a climber, but I wanted to share those experiences and turn other people on to the beauty and self-discovery I find in the mountains. And so that led me to take a slightly different track through the climbing world and become a guide and then also a photographer and kind of a storyteller and sharer of the mountain experience.
And I want listeners to understand the scope of your mountain climbing. It's not just, you know, a few little hills here and there. I spent some time on your website, and I also watched a recent documentary about George Mallory's life and the discovery of his remains on Everest. You were involved in that discovery. Can you just tell a little story about that?
Yeah, that was an amazing expedition. I was invited to be a member of the team in late 1998 to go to Mount Everest, which was my first expedition to the mountain in 1999. And what really turned me on about that expedition was we weren't going to the mountain to try and just climb it. We were trying to solve the greatest mystery of mountaineering, perhaps the greatest mystery of all exploration, the question of what happened to George Mallory and Andrew Irvine in 1924. And on June 8th, 1924, they were last seen about 1,000 feet below the summit of Mount Everest. And keep in mind, this was 29 years before Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzin Norgay summited the mountain. So it was back in the early days of mountaineering, and ever since, that has been an open question. Did they or did they not reach the summit? And it was an amazing day in 1999, May 1st of that year, when five of us climbed up to about 27,000 feet on the north face of Everest, hoping to find some evidence of Mallory and Irvine from 75 years before. And after just an hour and 45 minutes, our teammate Conrad Anker literally stumbled upon the remains of what turned out to be George Mallory. And even to this day, remembering the discovery and the things we learned about he and Irvine's final days and hours, it never ceases to give me goosebumps and chills. It was one of the most poignant moments of my climbing career.
That's amazing. You've recently begun supporting an organization called Water for People. What led you to become involved?
Well, I've always been passionate about development, and from early on my climbing career, I was fortunate enough to travel to some amazing places and, more importantly, interact with and get to know some incredible people, be them in Nepal or Peru, Bolivia, all different places around the world. And what those experiences taught me is that people around the world, by and large, are not in the situation they're in because they work harder or work less hard or are smarter or less smart than others, but But a lot of it comes down to simple geography, and I being born to relative affluence in Massachusetts versus some of my close friends being born to relative poverty in the Solu region of Nepal, it really comes down to geography, and their lot in life is far more difficult than mine. And so that led me to really feel that it's my duty to give back and to recognize the benefits that I've had, again, simply by virtue of geography. So I've always wanted to find a way to give back to the world around me. And to me, I look at development as kind of like a climbing expedition. When you go to, say, Mount Everest, you've got 12,000 feet of mountain ahead of you when you stand at base camp. And sure, you want to get to the summit, but you can't start there. You've got to start one step at a time and build the foundation, one step at a time, one camp at a time. And water and sanitation are really the foundation, in my mind, of all development. It's wonderful to build schools and bring electricity to remote communities, but if people are still spending 80% of their time fetching water to meet basic needs, or children are still dying of water-related illnesses before they can ever go to school, then none of that other development makes any sense. So we've got to start at the base. And water for people, I learned about through my amazing wife, Wendy Ballantyne, who has worked there for 8 years. And they are hands down the most amazing organization in the water and sanitation sector, really focused on sustainability and accountability. They celebrate their successes. They also admit their failures and just do incredible work and are focused on reaching everyone in a given community. And so that's how I got involved in Water for People, and I believe in them and their work passionately.
And in April of this year, you announced a 3-year expedition. It's called Challenge 21. How are you using your experience as a mountain climber to support Water for People?
Yeah, well, one thing that happened after I led an expedition to remote Western Tibet, a big peak out there in 2006, I remember vividly as I was driving back with my teammates across the Tibetan Plateau, thinking, wow, we had this amazing trip. There were a lot of people interested, a lot of eyes on what we were doing. And yet at the end of the day, the people and the villages we walked through changed very little. Sure, we put a little bit of money into the local economy, but by and large, their condition had not changed at all due to our passing. And I really felt that, wow, there's all this drama and all this inherent visibility in climbing. There's got to be a way to leverage that visibility and leverage that drama to redirect people's attention to something that's far more important than walking up mountains. And I also thought, well, the analogy is there, that it's just as I described previously about development being like a mountain, but also the mountains are an essential watershed for so many of the world's rivers and fresh water supplies, so they can tell a story that way. And so my hope with Challenge 21, the goal is to climb the 777 summits, or the three highest peaks on all seven continents, over the next 3 to 4 years, and use that as an interest point and the leverage point to draw people into the story of water and sanitation and the water and sanitation crisis around the world, and then specifically to raise awareness and funding for Water for People and the amazing work they do around the world.
And how will those funds that you raise be used?
Yeah, that's a very important subject that we really want to make sure people are aware of, because there's really, of course, the expeditions that we're going to embark on will cost money. There's financial realities involved, but what we're doing is making a very distinct break between money that will be used to underwrite the expeditions and the cost of them versus money that comes in to fund Water for People, money donated to go to their programs. And so the underwriting of all the expeditions will come from corporate marketing budgets. We're going to talk to corporations and get them excited about the project and the visibility they will see, and also being tied to a good project. But any money that is donated via Challenge 21 to Water for People will actually go directly to Water for People. We won't even touch any of those funds. In fact, if people click on the Donate Now button on our website, they're redirected automatically to Water for People. And Water for People has an amazing track record of using a huge amount of the money that's donated to actually go to their projects. They're one of the highest rated nonprofits on all the charity rating websites and do a wonderful job. So any money that's donated will go directly to Water for People programs around the world and changing people's lives.
And how can listeners become involved in Water for People and Challenge 21?
Yeah, so for Challenge 21, people can learn more about it by going to our website, which is www.challenge21.com. And there they can learn about our project, learn about the peaks, learn about the water and sanitation crisis, and also learn about Water for People and go directly to their website. If people want to go straight to Water for People and learn more about them, their website is waterforpeople.org.
Great. And a Father's Day question for you. You have two children. What do you hope they learn from the example that you're setting by the work that you do?
Yeah, that's a big thing my wife and I always talk about, because, of course, this expedition, the series of expeditions, will require a lot of hardship for all of us. It'll require time for me away from family, and for them, time without their dad around. But at the end of the day, my hope is that they will learn that following your passion in life is one of the most important things we can do. And while it's not always easy, there's going to be hardships. At the end of the day, it really pays off. And in addition to that, I hope to bring them on a couple of the trips with me and my wife, Wendy, and hopefully expose them to what I was exposed to years ago, the fact that Golden, Colorado is wonderful, but it's not the norm, and they should feel lucky for living where they do and recognize that they can and should give back to the world around them. It makes us all better and happier and the world a better place at the end of the day.
Jake, I thank you so much for joining us, and happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you, Pamela, and thank you for all the great work and information you put out there. It's really been an honor.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Listeners, if you would like more information about Challenge 21, you can visit Jake's website. It's challenge21.com, or you can also visit Water for People at waterforpeople.org. I'm Pamela Wilson on Talk Radio 630 KHOW. This is The Caring Generation, navigating life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Whether you're a caregiver or a person needing care facing an unexpected situation, or if you're interested in education to help you live a healthier and more informed life, you're in the right place with The Caring Generation every Sunday from 10 to noon. How many of us take water for granted? Up next, an international moment with information that might make you think differently about how much water you use.